Hi, welcome to the Frihof Institute of Progressive Halakha. I'm Rabbi Mark Wachowski with the 12-minute shiur number 35. Why don't we pray for rain when we actually need the rain? Part 2. We're working from a source sheet that you can download at our website, www.frihofinstitute.org/learning. Scroll down to the 12-minute shiur. You might also want to download the source sheet for installment 34, because we're going to be referring to some of those texts in this shiur. In our last installment, we trace the development of the halakha that has us pray for rain in the tefillah in the blessing called Birkat Hashanim during the rainy season. But when is the rainy season? Well, in Eretz Yisrael, it begins on the 7th of Cheshvan and it ends at Pesach. And everywhere else, Bechutz La'aretz, it begins 60 days after the autumnal equinox, which, due to the changeover from the Julian to the Gregorian calendar, now works out to December 4th or 5th, and it ends at Pesach. Those diaspora dates coincide with the Talmud's definition of the rainy season in ancient Babylonia. They don't coincide with the rainy season or with the agricultural calendar of many places around the world. Hence the problem. Why don't we in the diaspora get to pray for rain when we need the rain at a season that's appropriate for us? We saw that one leading halachic authority, the Rambam, did argue in his commentary to the Mishnah that diaspora lands ought to pray for rain in Birkat Hashanim during their own local rainy seasons. But then in his halachic code, the Mishneh Torah, which he wrote after he wrote the Mishnah commentary, Rambam reverses himself and rules that all diaspora communities should pray for rain in accordance with the Babylonian rainy season. In this installment, we're going to take a look at another great Rishon, another great early post-Talmudic authority, Rabbeinu Asher ben Yechiel, or the Rosh, as he's called. In his responsum, or teshuvah, Rosh makes a well-argued halachic case for allowing all regions to pray for rain when they need it, and not necessarily according to the Babylonian schedule. We've reproduced most of that teshuvah on the source sheet. We can't read through all of it in our 12-minute format, but we will try to outline his argument. And then we'll have some comments about what it all means for us. Rosh, who died in 1327, is writing in Spain, but he emigrated there from his native Germany, or Ashkenaz, at the beginning of the 14th century. This explains his opening remark, lines 3 through 10 on the source sheet, where he notes that for many years, from the time he lived in Germany, he has held that communities pray for rain at the wrong time. In lines 12 through 65, he discusses the Talmudic source, the ruling of Hanania, that has Jews in the Gola praying for rain 60 days after Tekufat Tishrei, the fall equinox. But against this, he makes two claims. First, that even though the Talmud Bavli is the supreme halachic authority on certain important matters, we rule according to local conditions, what he calls the years, geography, and the seasons. His second claim is that this text deals specifically with Babylonia, speaking to its geography and agricultural needs, just as the Mishnah speaks specifically to the situation in Eretz Yisrael. If so, it stands to reason that Hananya would allow us in the diaspora to pray for rain in accordance with our situation and our agricultural needs. Now, starting on lines 67 and 75, Rosh tells us that he also thinks, and has thought for a long time, that we stop praying for rain too early. V'hadaval yadua sheba Ashkenaz ikal kiyum hatvua hi al yedei hagshamim sheben Pesach la'atzeret. It's well known that in Germany, the produce can hardly survive without rain between Pesach and Shavuot. Now, if the Mishnah tells us to stop praying for rain at Pesach, well, that's because the rainy season there ends at Pesach. In Eretz Yisrael, right? But Germany should pray according to its needs. Now, lines 88 through 100. What about that passage in Ta'anit 14b? And you might want to look at the source sheet from Shiur number 34, beginning at line 36, the text where Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi tells the residents of Nineveh that they are considered yechidim, individuals, as compared to the rest of the Babylonian community, and that they must recite Birkat HaShanim just as everyone else in Babylonia does, even if they need the rain in the summer months. That's the text from which we customarily learn that the entire diaspora, the Gola, has the same prayer schedule. But Rosh says, no, we're reading it wrong. Rabbi is speaking to the residents of Ir Ahat, a single city. They cannot count as an exception to the rule that applies to the rest of their country. But, he says, in the case of a large country like Germany, he, that is, Rabbi, would agree that its residents should pray for rain whenever they need it. As he travels from Germany to Spain, lines 102 through 133, Rosh attempts to persuade the residents of each country that his understanding of the halakha is correct. But he fails everywhere he goes. Oh, sure, they agree with his reading of the sources, but in Germany they tell him, Ein atzirat geshamim matzui sham. We don't need to change our practice because drought doesn't usually happen between Pesach and Shavuot. In Provence, they say that, V'yashru me'od be'enehem, yeah, you make a good point, but we can't alter our minhag without the agreement of all the sages of our country. A polite way of saying that they're not going to heed the words of an itinerant Ashkenazi rabbi, no matter how good his arguments are. When Rosh arrives in Spain, he bides his time waiting for an opening. And when it comes in the form of a springtime drought, he thinks, Ah, bevadai, sheyishmu lecha be'et tzara kazot. Surely, at a time of distress like this, they will listen to me. He emphasizes to his community that Rambam, a towering halachic authority in Spain, agrees with him. Yes, he concedes Rambam's two works, the commentary and the Mishneh Torah, seem to contradict, but Rosh insists that they don't. Look carefully, he says, and you can find these two sources on page 3 of the source sheet from Shiur number 34. In the commentary, Rambam speaks of aratzot, entire countries that are entitled, by virtue of their size, to pray for rain when they need it. In the Mishneh Torah, where he ostensibly tells us that everybody in the diaspora has to pray according to the Babylonian calendar, Rambam uses the word mekomot, places, localities, individual cities within larger regions. Such places, like Nineveh, must follow the minhag of their region, even if local needs for rain differ. They are considered as yechidim, individuals who must make their petition for rain in the blessing Shomei Tefillah. But an entire eretz, a country or region, may pray for rain according to its own needs. So in fact, Rambam, at least according to Rosh, allows entire regions to pray for rain in Birkat HaShanim during their rainy season, and not necessarily that of Babylonia. Well, this is a brilliant resolution of what, to all appearances, is a real contradiction, a kasha between Rambam's two works. Maybe too brilliant, for it seems more likely that the Mishneh Torah reverses the stance that Rambam takes in his Mishnah commentary. Most subsequent authorities certainly read him that way. And at any rate, Rosh didn't convince his Sephardic audience, for as we see in lines 152 through 160, they rejected his argument and stuck with the established minhag, which remains the traditional practice to this day. And that is why we, most of us in the diaspora, don't pray for rain when we actually need the rain. Okay, now for the tachlis. What should we do about all this? Well, we at the Frihof Institute are not poskim, so we are not going to exactly make a ruling here. But since you asked, we can suggest a couple of things. First of all, it makes absolutely no sense to start praying for rain in the diaspora on December 4th or 5th. The Talmud says that we're supposed to start praying for rain following Tekufat Tishrei, the autumnal equinox, 60 days. And since we in the Western world have long since abandoned the old Julian calendar, and because we calculate the solar year nowadays according to the more accurate Gregorian calendar, the proper days to begin saying V'ten Talu Matar are November 22nd and 23rd. The second suggestion is that this business of having the entire diaspora pray for rain according to the ancient Babylonian minhag is also, well, to use a technical term, fakakta, or questionable. We think that Rosh makes a convincing halachic argument that the whole point of Birkat Hashanim is to allow Jews in every land or region to pray for rain, and to pray for rain when they need it. This is not to say that the traditional practice makes no sense at all. There's something nice about having the entire diaspora unite as one, and there are many practices in which we actually do that. But, again, that's not the purpose of Birkat Hashanim. Now, remember, when we say the Jews of every land or region, we mean a land or a region, say Australia, New Zealand, or a climatic region of a large country like the United States. Individuals or localities that within these larger regions that might need rain at a certain point outside the national calendar can add a petition in the blessing Shomei Tefillah. And the third suggestion is that oftentimes the minority opinion in the halakha, the one that has been rejected for many years or even centuries, can be more reasonable and be better argued than the majority consensus view. Thus, there's no reason why Jews, especially those of us in the progressive halachic community, are required to follow the majority consensus opinion when it stands against persuasive argument and in contradiction of common sense. This has been the 12-Minute Shiur number 35 from the Frihof Institute of Progressive Halakha. Thanks for learning with us. Lehitraot.